And I want you to meet Chris Mitchell. And Chris, if you'll just come on up here. He's the Middle East Bureau Chief for the Christian Broadcasting Network. He's been a dear friend to me for several years, but Ray's known him for a long, long, long time, I think. And last time we were in Jerusalem for the Jerusalem prayer breakfast, Chris took Ray and myself and Vicky and my daughter Rachel Ruth around, and for 2 days he showed us things that Ray Bentley has never seen. Mm-hmm. It was so unbelievable, awesome. And it was awesome. And Chris just devoted 2 days to just looking after us and praying for us. But he specializes, of course, in the Middle East, and one of the things he knows a lot about is the persecution of believers in this area. He also knows what God is doing. And I think Ray had described it as the living stones. Mm-hmm. And so Chris is very familiar with the living stones and what God is doing today. We've been, looking at the ruins and some of the ancient stones, but we thought tonight we might focus for 30 minutes on the living stones. So I'm just going to let Chris say whatever's on his heart for a few minutes, and then we can just open it up for questions if you like. And I can facilitate, or I can just be quiet and just let these guys take over, or I might have a comment. So this is going to be very informal. We haven't planned anything. This isn't a program. I just felt when I knew Chris would be here, and I didn't want to presume to ask him to come, so I said to Ray, do you think Chris would come? And so I went through Ray to get Chris. And so he's come to have dinner with us and to share with us. And Chris, you are such a special guy. Mm-hmm. And his wife, Liz, is at home. She's not feeling well tonight, but we love her too. So please take her our greetings and our love. And whatever's on your heart, you've heard some of the things that are on our heart. So whatever's on your heart, if you just take a minute and share and then maybe answer questions, or we'll let the Lord lead.
Well, first of all, it's a real honor to be here. And I really moved myself by all your testimonies and about how you've been touched by being here in the land. I can share one of my testimonies. I came first here in 1996 and fell in love with Jerusalem. I fell in love with the people, and my one regret was that Liz and our three children weren't with me, and not realizing that 4 years later we'd all be here. And in 1997, I came here for the second time, and I went to a message given by Derek Prince. Many of you know the famous, well-known Bible teacher. And he shared a story that night, and he said that in 1948, when he was leaving the British Army, that he wanted to live in Jerusalem. And he was sharing that with an elderly Jewish woman. And she said to him, well, Derek, you don't choose Jerusalem. Jerusalem chooses you. And when he said that, it really pierced my heart. And I thought, Lord, are you choosing us for Jerusalem? Well, the next year, in 1998, my boss put out an email asking for volunteers to start a news bureau in Jerusalem. And I literally pushed myself away from the computer screen and thinking that maybe this is what the Lord had for me and Liz and our three children. And I happened to be the only one to volunteer out of the newsroom. So we thought we were coming again in 1999 because of budget reasons. They delayed that till May of 2000. I remember Michael Little, then the president of CBN, put his hand on my shoulder and he said, get ready to go to Jerusalem. So we came August 17th, 2000. It'll be 18 years next month. Wow. And Ann asked me a question. Will you... had those 2 days, we toured around the old city, and really the Holy Spirit just, and it sounds like exactly what is happening on your trip, the Holy Spirit just went before us with people that were just anointed to share what was on their heart. We saw people that that really just were so gracious to Ann and Ray and Vicky and the members of our team. But it's really the Holy Spirit that really is the tour guide here most of all. And she asked me a question. Ann asked me a question. She says, do you ever, get used to living in Jerusalem? And I don't. The wonder of it still never leaves. Of course, you have your daily life. You go to Super Deal and you get the groceries and you park your car and you get gas and you do all the things that you do anywhere. But it's just a wonder to be here in Jerusalem and that the Lord would allow us to be here and do what we do. For CBN News, we try to report on what's happening here in Jerusalem, Israel, and the Middle East. And it's a real privilege to be able to share that through CBN 700 Club, or a weekly program we do, Jerusalem Dateline. And to talk about the living stones, you have seen a lot of the ancient stones, especially here in Jerusalem. As you go to the Western Wall or the Old City walls, the City of David, you'll see the ancient stones. But there really is the living stones as well that are really remarkable. And as Joel asked me about, sharing that, and Anne, I'll share with you some of the living people that I have met that really are just such an awesome privilege to get to know, to interview, to report on their story. And I'll let him mention some of them that have come to my mind. Dave Eubank is a man that started a ministry in Burma, in Myanmar, it's called now, 20 years ago, to help the Karen Christians that were being persecuted. And about 5 years ago, he felt called by the Lord to go to Kurdistan and help the Peshmerga as they were fighting ISIS. And you may have heard this story, you may have seen the video, but this was probably in summer of 2017, where what he did, as people were fleeing Mosul, where Jonah went maybe 2,700 years ago to preach his message of repentance, had been captured by ISIS. And as the Iraqi army was coming in and they were taking over block by block, the people that wanted to flee the fighting were actually being killed by ISIS. And there was this one area where about 70 Iraqi people had died. It was like a massacre. But they noticed that there was a couple of people that were still moving. And one of it was a six-year-old girl. And Dave, he's a believer. He's a strong Christian, and he prays all the time when you're with him. And what they decided to do is that they got the Iraqi army to bring an M1 Abrams tank. They got the American army to drop some smoke so they could be shielded. But somebody had to go out and run and go get that girl. And if you ever look at the video, it took them 12 seconds to run from the safety of that tank out to the girl and to bring her back. And he did, and just a remarkable. I think of it as 12 seconds of love, because what he said, why did you do it? Because this is a man with two daughters, a wife, and a son. He said it. He did it because of love. And he said, if you're fearful of anything, just ask God for love. And so he loved that little six-year-old Iraqi girl enough to run out 12 seconds and bring her back to safety, and she's still alive today. In fact, I just saw a picture of her and him together just yesterday. I can tell you about Dr. Sally and Debbie Dennison. Dr. Sally is a general surgeon that works in Colorado, and Debbie Dennison is a trauma nurse that works, I believe, in the same hospital. Her husband is actually one of the ICEJ staff, one of the vice presidents. And what they did is they became part of what's called the Good Neighbor Policy. When the Syrian Civil War started about over 7 years ago, March 15, 2011, it was just a horrific civil war, still is going on right now as we speak. But the Israeli army decided, what were they going to do? That was the question one of the IDF officers had to answer. And they decided to come up with what they call the Good Neighbor Policy. And what they had done surreptitiously, covertly for years before they actually made it public, was to provide food and fuel, gasoline, medical supplies, baby food, diapers to Syrians. They were on this other side of the fence. They wanted to be a good neighbor and reach out to them. Yeah. Well, that had been going on for several years. And then about a year and a half ago, they partnered with a Christian ministry called Frontier Alliance International. And what they did is that they began to bring Christian medical personnel and send them across the fence into Syria, which is literally about the most dangerous place on earth, into a war zone. And so Dr. Sally and Debbie Dennison and several others would go inside. They went inside for about 2 to 3 months in one of the towns that was being barrel bombed by President Assad, was being strafed by Russian MiGs, and living literally not knowing if they would live or die. In fact, they had to make arrangements. What would they do with the body if they had to go do this? And they did it because of love. They did it because they wanted to show God's love to the people on the other side of the border. People that really they really didn't know, and the people in these villages didn't know them either. But what they did was transform their ideas, the Muslims' ideas, of what Christians were like. In fact, I think of it as sort of the best Middle East peace policy is Jews helping Christians to help Muslims. And it really did work and does work and is working right now. In fact, you can think of Dr. Sally as a general surgeon in a suburban hospital, never having treated war injuries, shrapnel, shootings, legs that may have to be amputated. So what they would do if they didn't know how to treat somebody, they would get on YouTube and they would download video and literally sometimes have the smartphone on the operating table to look at what they had to do to the man that might be lying on the surgical table 6 inches away. But it was remarkable, and it continues to be just a remarkable testimony of what is happening and what happens to living stones that are living out the gospel many times at the risk of their own lives. And it's just remarkable. And I just had a Sister Diana. She's lived in a town called Karakosh, 60,000 Christians that had to flee one night because of ISIS. And Sister Diana, a Dominican nun, was one of those who had to leave. And then what she did with another Chaldean priest was set up a medical clinic in Erbil for many of the Christians that had to flee because of ISIS. And Johanna, who was our guide, we actually went into Mosul last September. Mosul, that I told you about, that's where Dave Eubank saved this little six-year-old girl. And I had never seen any destruction like that in my life. If you remember movies or film from World War II of these carpet-bombed German cities, that kind of devastation is what we saw. But Johanna was our guide. He was our driver. He actually got us into some remote places. And what he has is a Christian ministry that reaches out to many of these Sunni Muslims. And many of the Muslims, in fact, one time when they were distributing food and clothes, the Muslims came up to him and said, "Why do you do this?" "Because we wanted to kill you." And we said, "We did it because we have to love our enemies." And these are just examples of the living stones that make a difference here in the Middle East. Despite all the geopolitics going on, the kingdom of God is going on. You've heard of dreams and visions. We were in Erbil at a prayer meeting. And my pastor, Pastor Majid, who was our driver translator at that time, he had to go and leave to go get gas. His car broke down and couldn't get back to us. So at the end of this prayer meeting that we were actually videotaping, the leader of the prayer group, Fabian, not the singer, for those that are old enough to remember, he invited us home. And what an evening we had, because also five Iranian believers were invited along with us. And we had the privilege of sitting around this table and listening to their testimonies. And four out of the five Iranian believers came to faith through a dream or a vision, seeing Jesus as king over Iran. And sometimes one of the believers came by reading a Bible. But this is happening over and over, that the Holy Spirit is at work bringing up living stones, and living stones displaying the love of God at the risk of their own lives, laying down their lives for others. I could go on, but it's really an awesome privilege to see and to report on what God is doing. And it's wonderful that you're here to experience the wonder of the city that the Bible says is the city of the great king, where he's coming back to. And he's still alive today. And I still get amazed when I go up in the Mount of Olives and say, this is where he's coming back. This is where he ascended to heaven and where the angel said he'll come back again. So we all have, wherever we are, we all have such a wonderful privilege to be alive for such a time as this, to be able to live out his destiny for each and every one of us, wherever it may be and however he calls us.
Chris, thank you. It's just thrilling. And on behalf of all of us, we want to thank you. I mean, you went into some of those places where you risked your life to come and give us the stories of the living stones. Mm-hmm. So thank you to just share those stories with the world. You know, how would we know what was going on if you didn't go in there and come out and tell us? So thank you. And yeah.
Way to go.
And I'm going to turn it over to Ray and ask you if you would focus on the living stones in his land, in Israel, And I don't know about Ariel or what you, and I know that hasn't quite come to life yet, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, in a sense, but but it was because of Ray, I know, that I was invited to participate in the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast. I know you're very connected with people in Israel. He loves Israel. He loves this city. He loves these people. But he loves Jesus, as you already know. You know, he loves the Word. So so whatever is on your heart.
You know, I look at what's happening right now, and I love the Jewish people so much. And I'm so blessed by them, and I think that you guys can feel, you know, I am just on fire for my love for Israel and for the Jewish people. And, you know, I just count it such a privilege to see them and what God is doing with them. And there is, at this Jerusalem prayer breakfast, we had Christians from over, how many?
They said 70.
Yeah, that's right. They said 70 nations. And there were 600 delegates that came together literally from all over the world. It's just the second one that they've ever had. And, you know, literally what's happening, you know, here with you that have come all from all over the 50 states of the United States that are here because of God's word and because, you know, Israel is the epicenter and Jerusalem is the epicenter of the epicenter. And the temple is the epicenter of the epicenter of the epicenter. And so there's a movement that is happening around the world of believers who are coming here and praying for Israel and blessing the Jewish people. And, you know, when I think about the relationship between Jews and Christians, in fact, we have Danielle Moore, who is here, the young lady. Would you stand up for just a moment? She is from the Jewish Agency. And, you know, part of what we have done, she helps to bring Jewish people back to the land. So I, you know, the Lord showed me the scripture in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 22, that says that the Gentiles will carry the Jewish boys and the Jewish girls on their shoulders and in their arms back to the land. And I'm sure you are all familiar with the prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 37 about the bones that are dead. And then God comes to the prophet Ezekiel, and what does he tell him? He says, prophesy to the bones. Now, what's interesting about that is God could have just said it. God could have done it. But just as we said today, the angel showed up, but he didn't bring the gospel. So also, God didn't just make it happen. He said to Ezekiel, you prophesy and you speak to dead bones in my name and with my word and my power and watch what happens. And so he commanded the bones and the bones started coming together. And then secondly, God says, now prophesy to the wind. And so in Hebrew, the word for wind and spirit or breath and spirit is synonymous, ruach, right? Ruach, and he prophesied, and then the Spirit came into them. So here's what I see, real simple. Forgive me, I'm a pastor, so I go into Bible study mode all the time, but what is a two-phase fulfillment of that prophecy. Number one, physically, the bones, the sinews, the flesh, and we can think of, you know, the Holocaust and what happened, you know, 6 million Jews lost their lives. Who would have ever dreamed that 3 years after the end of World War II, 1945, World War II ends? Who would have ever dreamed 3 years later that on May 14th, 1948, the Jewish state would be born? Talk about Hitler's nightmare. He wanted to destroy every last living Jew on the face of the planet Earth. And God used that Holocaust, you know, in some mysterious way to prepare for them to come together. So now they're coming back from every nation, language, kindred, and tribe. I believe because of Isaiah 49, 22, we as Christians are not just go, yay, God, go Jews, go back, you know, and cheer them on like we're eating popcorn up in the stands. I believe that God is saying to the church, you have a role to play. You get to participate in this. And to me, Isaiah 49:22 is, how do we carry the Jewish boys and Jewish girls in our arms? We're to step into the story, not just read the story, not just know the story, not just tell the story, and not even just come and visit the story. But God is giving an invitation to believers and through Jesus to step into the story. And I believe that then the Spirit comes. That's the second phase. You know, once it becomes a nation, it's not just going to be a geopolitical sovereign state, but the ultimate goal is a reconciliation with God. And obviously, you know, for me, I see Jesus as that bridge between the Jewish people around the world and Gentiles. He is that Jewish bridge, Jesus of Nazareth, our Savior. And you know, a lot of the church, they don't know that, and they don't realize, you know, when he comes, when they see him, they're going to go, wow, I didn't know he was so Jewish. I mean, he really is still, he's not only the king of the Jews, but as God promised to Abraham, you know, I will bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who curse you, and through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And, you know, we don't see everything, but we're in it. And you can, I think you guys being here, most of you for the first time, you are seeing it, hearing it, and feeling it. God is doing something. And, you know, it's just amazing. It's an awesome privilege to see what God is doing.
The wind is blowing.
The wind is blowing. He is definitely blowing. Yeah.
I can see that in my own life. And first time I came to Israel, I was a girl, maybe 13. Second time, 16. So, Belle, I was your age when I came my second time. And then for years and years, didn't really think about it. I mean, you kind of think about it and all that. And then 7 years ago, I came for just a sort of a private look-see tour, and then spoke at Joel Rosenberg had an Epicenter conference at that point, and I spoke at that. Then 5 years ago, brought a tour, and then the NRB asked me to come back on a delegation, and then asked to do the Jerusalem prayer breakfast. And then, I mean, you know, so in my own life, the Lord is just like funneling me back, pulling me back here, sort of, for whatever reason. And of course, I believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, mm-hmm. and I believe he's soon to come, mm-hmm. and I believe that he would have us tell people mm-hmm. how they can place their faith in him and escape the judgment that's coming on the world.
Yes.
You know, because when he comes, according to my understanding of Scripture, when he comes in what we call the rapture, when he takes the people that have put their faith in him up to heaven, then that ushers in hell on earth for those who are left behind and for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And so with all my heart, I want people to escape that.
Yes.
I want them to put their faith in Jesus now. Mm-hmm. But that's a choice they need to make. But they can't make that choice if I don't share with them what the Bible says mm-hmm. and what I believe. And then it's up to them, you know. But so it's this is a wonderful place to be. And in this city that God placed his name on, these people who, you know, he called by his name. And so it's a privilege to be here and a privilege to know the truth. And feel free to share it as you meet with people. And I'm just going to ask, if we've got maybe 7 minutes. So I'm sorry, but that's awfully quick. But anybody have a question that you think would be interesting to the whole group? Not just your personal question, but a question that you might want to ask either Chris or Ray. But if you ask me, then I'm just going to ask them to answer because their answers are more interesting. any question that you might have? Yes.
Do you have a suggestion for specific ways we can step into the story?
Yes. we started a fund called the Nehemiah Fund. You know, Nehemiah was sent back after, you know, they got kicked out because they were worshiping idols. And God said, okay, if you want to worship idols, go to the capital of idolatry to Babylon. And then Nehemiah came back. And I believe that is coming back. And so from Isaiah 49:22, the Gentiles helping to bring the Jewish people back, we have this fund called the Nehemiah Fund, and we are giving it to the Jewish agency to help bring the Jewish people back. And I believe that God is, you know, if we're faithful to what God has called us to do, he's going to be faithful to do what and he's going to bring the Spirit and bring, you know, his glory and his kingdom here upon the earth. So that's That's one way you can do it.
And I'm going to add that you can step into the story on your knees
mm-hmm.
and then ask God to show you specific things you can do. And I'll just say flat out, you can give to the Nehemiah Fund at Ray's Church, you know, and help that way. Or there are other things that one of the things I do is, and I just came across it, but it's, maybe I shouldn't say that. Do I lose my reward if I say what I do?
No. They're anyway, looking for ideas. So.
Well, like ambulances, you know, how do you pronounce it? Magnum Adam?
Magen David Adom.
Yeah, so I knew I would say it all wrong. I cannot, I have no pronunciation, but anyway, they supply ambulances, you know, so just people when they're wounded or a mother who's having a baby, you know, they have to have ambulances. And so that's just one of the small things that I give money to that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it can be something, you know, but in prayer, you just ask the Lord to show you. And mm-hmm. and then, but I think, first of all, we want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So don't sell that short, Chris.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, Ray was sharing, the phrase came to mind, prophecy is not a spectator sport. So you get to be a participant. And the Jewish Agency does amazing work. I've reported many times at Ben Gurion Airport to see the Jewish Agency bring in Jews from around the world. And Natan Sharansky has been the head of that till this month, I think. And there's a new head. But they do amazing work. And prayer, too, is such an important part. Participation and being informed, I would say, to know what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening to the Jewish people. And that's where I feel a calling to be with CBN News, to do our weekly program, Jerusalem Dateline, updates on the 700 Club, to understand what's happening, to be like the sons and daughters of Issachar, to understand the times and know what to do. So that makes, I think, being informed of what's happening from a biblical perspective, I think, is vital as well.
Okay, David, you've got somebody.
I was wondering if you knew of any ministries or ways that we could also help. I really have a burden for Christian Arabs in this country, and just wondered if you could speak to that.
I'm sorry, Christian what?
Arabs.
Oh, Christian Arabs. I would recommend there's a ministry in Bethlehem, the First Baptist Church with Naeem and Stephen Corey. They have a ministry there, and I think they're doing a wonderful work inside a very difficult place. I can give you their contact details if you want, but that's one ministry that I think is reaching out to Christian Arabs who often find themselves caught in the middle between the Jewish and the Arab conflict.
Mm-hmm. You know, and Stephen Corey was one of the speakers of the Jerusalem Prayer
yes,
Breakfast.
Yes, powerful.
And yes, it is. And so, and then also at the Prayer Summit, Joel Rosenberg, where we're going to be day after tomorrow, it seems he's coming up on us pretty quick. He's going to have quite a few Arabs and Palestinians, the pastors and such, and I think you'll get more information at the summit. But mm-hmm. But that's a great one. Mm-hmm.
And then you remember when we were in Nazareth with Boutros, and they've got that school, 1,200 kids, 200 of them are from Muslim families. They're being a light and a witness. So that's part of what we do through our Nehemiah Fund is come alongside that school in Nazareth as well. So,
all right, I'm going to wrap this up now because it's just about 9. And I think it's been a precious time.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys so much. And I think they've been wonderful. So, you know, you can be thinking of other questions. You can catch Pastor Ray as we're touring or discuss amongst yourselves. And just open your heart and mind for the Lord to show you fresh things and new things. And he loves the Israelis. He loves this land. But I thank you for bringing that because he also loves the sons of Ishmael.
Amen.
And he loves Arabs. And one of the books I wrote was on Wounded by God's People. And it's on Hagar and how she was wounded by God's people. And it was wounded people became wounders. And it just went round and round and round. But God chose Isaac to receive the covenant. But he loved Ishmael as much as he loved Isaac. And so God loves the Arabs as much as he loves the Jews. It's just the Jews have been chosen for a special purpose. And God has his name on this place and those people. But it doesn't mean he loves them less. He sent Jesus to die for them, to take away their sin, to open heaven for them just as much as he ever did for any Jew or Gentile woman like me. You know. Yeah, so Chris is going to lead us in prayer.
Father, I thank you for these precious people that have come a long way. And for some, it's been a long time. for them to come here to your land and to your city. And Lord, I pray that you would continue the good work that you have in these hearts. Lord, these precious moments when you meet them, when you speak to them, when you heal a body or you heal a heart. I think of my brother who's lost his son. And Lord, there are deep waters here that we may not see, but you see. You see all the hearts here. And so I pray that you would continue this good work in their hearts as they go and literally walk where you walked. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would continue to bring your word alive, that the Bible would go from a black and white book to a book that's in color, vivid color,
yes,
of the experiences that they will have. Pray for the blessing on their family members back home that may be concerned about them, that you give them peace. And we just pray that you would fulfill in their hearts and their minds, their spirits, the works that you wanted to accomplish in and through them during this time. I pray for your protection. And Lord, as they go back, let them be enriched by your spirit to fulfill their purpose, their destiny, their plans. And we just give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Thank Amen. You so much. Thank you.
Thank you.